Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Well, welcome to all our listeners on this beautiful day. I'm so excited to have our sponsor, Bellevue Heights, with us today, Nikki Giewertz. Great to have you. Did I say your name right?
Yes, Nikki Giewertz. Thank you. Giewertz. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, well, today we have a great show for all of our listeners because we're going to talk about, it's kind of a continuum of last week when you finally figure out that maybe taking care of your loved one with Alzheimer's or other types of dementia is a little bit too much. We need some additional help. But making those steps and making those decisions are difficult, aren't they, Nikki? So today I want you to help our listeners with when is it time to consider memory care?
Right. And that's a question we get from just about everybody who walks through our doors. When is the right time? Or what is the crystal ball going to tell me today as far as, yes, today is the day I'm making a move? And for everybody, that looks very different. So we'll start to ask questions. How is your day-to-day affected by taking care of your loved one with dementia? And the folks that we're working with are typically the adult children or the spouse. So again, that's going to look very different. Are you taking care of your adult with dementia, your parent, or are they living in their own home? And if you're the spouse, are you the primary caregiver, or do you have some additional help coming into the house to help you so you can get away? Mm-hmm. And if not, you know, are you a prisoner in your own home,
right,
which we see a lot of? And then, you know, we say, how is that affecting your health? So many times the caregiver, their health is affected even more so because they're neglecting themselves. So I've had people come in who tell me that they're now taking blood pressure medications and sleeping aids and all sorts of things that they didn't need before because their loved one that they are taking care of isn't sleeping at night, they're resisting care, they're angry. So that's really affecting their own health.
Right.
So,
or even getting up and walking towards the door, trying to leave. And it all kind of can revolve around safety at a certain point.
Absolutely.
You don't want that person wandering out in the cold weather at night or the extreme heat in the summer. It's not safe for the other person either, is it? Because if they're off balance or their mobility is affected, that can be a real problem.
Right. Are there stairs in the house? You know, how big is their property? Are there neighbors around who are kind of helping to look out? And we hear stories after stories of people who, you know, get out at 2 a.m. because they're looking for their loved one who is deceased, but they're waking up delusional. And so, unfortunately, a lot of times we're seeing people waiting for that crisis moment to happen.
I know.
So
I wish they wouldn't, but they do. And, you know, one of the really touchy subjects, I think, for spouses is they sometimes become just the caregiver and they lose themselves in this whole process. You see that a lot, don't you? People expressing to you, I don't feel like I have a life anymore. I want to be the spouse again. Did they talk to you about that?
Absolutely. And we talked to them about the benefits of now we can help that dynamic shift back to where they can be the spouse or the adult child and not the caregiver. They can enjoy their time together and not worry about, are they going to be resistive to me taking them to the bathroom or trying to give them their medications? You know, let the professional caregivers take care of that for you so you can go back to being the person that is in love with them. And I think for the spouses, it is such a hard decision because you've got your vows that you want to honor and till death do you part in sickness and in health. The promises. You know, and we hear that a lot. I promised my mom never to put her in a home. Well, that promise was invalidated when your mom was out at 2 a.m. looking for her deceased husband.
Right.
She, you know, that's not a promise that you can keep and be able to sleep at night knowing that your mom is safe.
Well, absolutely. And when people make those promises, number one, they didn't know that places like Bellevue Heights existed.
Absolutely.
That could absolutely take away that fear of the nursing home,
right,
you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. Care has changed a lot in the last 15 to 20 years. When I started about 20 years ago, your average assisted living resident now was in a nursing home.
Right.
So the type of care we can provide has changed tremendously. And, you know, the old nursing homes that maybe our seniors remember that their parents or grandparents might have been in don't even exist anymore.
Right.
So it's an educational opportunity for us to let people know that it can be a lot better than what they remember back in the old days.
Sure. And I think one of the things that I see a lot now with my clients is the financial piece. And what's really scary is I don't think a lot of young people today are putting away money for long-term care insurance. All of our parents did that. Our aunts and uncles, our elders did that. But we don't do that anymore. And I don't think they understand the price of care.
Right.
It's pretty high.
Yep. And we talk to people about that sticker shock. If this is your first time looking for a community because, A, you've either waited for the crisis to happen, mm-hmm. or you're even looking for the future thinking, well, when the crisis happens, I want to know what's out there.
Right.
And if you're just starting your search, it is sticker shock. Memory care is not cheap. And there's certainly a lot of variance within the industry of, you know, the small board and cares that might take five or six people all the way up through the larger communities. But what they offer in between, you know, there's a price to that. So for people who aren't prepared, it could be quite overwhelming.
Right. And when you're looking for a place, you know, because a couple of my clients have come to live at your community, that if you find the right place, if you find a place that uses person-centered care like yours does,
right.
there are places that say they do and they don't, but right. yours truly does. And I want you to know how much I appreciate that versus task-centered care. And we'll explain that a little bit further in the second segment of this. But they will drive a long way, won't they?
Absolutely. And we, you know, when we're talking about what are you looking for when you are ready and you know that it's the time, that's one of the things to consider. You know, what are you willing to give up to find the best place for your loved one? Is it a longer driving distance, maybe a higher cost?
Right.
Depending on what those needs are, because not only is there cognitive need, but there might be diabetic management needs or other care needs on top of that.
Mm-hmm. And you actually provide little assistance for people who are veterans as well, right?
Absolutely. So those are some of the vetting questions we'll ask when we're talking about budget. And so, to make it an easier process, and not every adult child knows what their parents' finances are, but if you do up front, it certainly can help the process of really knowing what you can afford. But we will ask questions. Is there a long-term care insurance policy in place? Is there, you know, any veterans assistance we can help try to discover based on the veteran status of the senior or their spouse?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of different resources out there that we can find. It's just a matter of knowing what they would be eligible for and certainly knowing up front, you know, are there multiple children involved that might be able to kick in something? Have they asked each other those questions? Is everybody on the same page? When you've got a lot of kids, they have a lot of different opinions about what the best thing is for mom.
Mm-hmm.
So who's the one really making that decision? Who's in charge? And do they have the support of the rest of the family?
Right. And just before we go to break, you also help with some fee for veterans.
What yes. So there is a company out there. And the Veterans Assistance Program, it's they're becoming savvy to companies that are willing to move funds around to make it look like they can apply for the Veterans Assistance Program. And the VA is onto that. So there is a company that's doing it the right way. They have the support of the VA. And there is a fee for the process of applying for that benefit, but our company will actually offset that price and pay for it for anybody who's moving into our communities, because we know it's such a benefit that a lot of people don't know about, but you know, it's one that we know can make a difference between being able to live in a memory care community or not. So.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the nice things I think about Bellevue Heights, too, is that not only do you help with all of those seeking to understand and you have to be a detective question, that helps families when they just don't know what avenue to go down, where to look, what's even available to me. Sometimes they don't even consider the fact that maybe if their loved one is living in a home that they own, if they sold that house, that could help to pay for the care and so on and so forth. So
Absolutely.
Those are things that I think are highly beneficial. And I'm excited to talk to you about person-centered care. We talked about that. We just touched on it. But what does that look like? What does it mean? there's a big difference between task-centered and person-centered, and we're going to talk about that when we come back after we listen to one of your commercials.
Yeah.
And thank you for sponsoring us. We're thrilled you're here today.
Making the decision to place your loved one in the care of others is one of the most difficult decisions you'll ever have to make. If that someone special is in your life and is needing memory care, Bellevue Heights is the place to call home. Bellevue Heights, part of the JEA Senior Living family, is deeply committed to serving people living with Alzheimer's and other related dementias. Bellevue Heights believes that supporting families and caregivers is just as important as caring for our residents. We offer free monthly support groups, education and lecture series, and presentations by experts in Alzheimer's and dementia care. All of our programs are free and open to the public. Call Bellevue Heights at 303-690-0700 to learn more about the high standard of individualized care they can offer your loved one. And ask about our current and upcoming education opportunities and support groups. Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center is located at 14500 East Bellevue Avenue in Aurora. Visit jeaseniorliving.com or call 303-690-0700 to schedule a tour. Come home to family. Come home to Bellevue Heights.
Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
Okay, welcome back, listeners. We've got Nikki with us from Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. That's such a mouthful. Nikki, one of the things that I think is important for people to understand about the finances, let's just circle back to that for a second.
Sure.
Some places will charge a dollar a minute to take somebody for a walk. We learned that the other day.
Right.
So how does Bellevue Heights structure your fees?
Right. So our community specializes in dementia memory care, and realize it's not just Alzheimer's we're working with. There's all sorts of different dementias out there that we'll talk about, but they're all progressive. You know, these are people who are not going to get better. So whether it's Parkinson's or Alzheimer's or frontal lobe dementia, we're looking at people who, when they move in, they might be able to do some things for themselves, but as they progress, maybe they do need more help with their showers or getting dressed or incontinent care. So for us, we just have one flat fee based on the type of room you pick. But as they progress, there's no levels of care. So people come in and they'll say, well, what are your levels of care? Well, we don't do levels of care. And a lot of communities that provide memory care are actually going to that one flat fee type of service, because we know we're dealing with people with progressive diseases. They are going to decline. So at Bellevue Heights, we don't feel that families should be penalized for that. We want you to know upfront and be very transparent with, this is the cost, this is what we provide, this is what we can do, and, you know, go from there.
Excellent. Yeah. So now let's explain to our listeners about person-centered care versus task-centered care.
Yes.
So I will first start with task-centered care. I mean, no offense to any of those places out there that work this way. They do it for a reason, but there are communities that will tell their staff, you've got 10 people you need to work with, and those 10 people have to be showered at this time, and this time between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. And they have 15 minutes to do it. And the staff feels so mired down by time. Mm-hmm. And everything they do is based on a structured set. So if somebody wants to take a bath versus a shower, if somebody wants to come down for breakfast wearing their pajamas, they can't do it. It's not allowed in the task-centered places. So yours is not like that. You are a person-centered care community. Please tell our listeners what makes you so good.
And, you know, in those task-centered places, that's when you start to see caregivers getting people up at 5 in the morning so they can get all their showers in before breakfast.
Right.
Well, I can tell you, when I'm retired, I am not getting up at 5 in the morning to take a shower. Do not make me do that.
Right? Yeah.
So person-centered care is about not making people get up at 5 in the morning to take a shower in a nutshell. But, you know, person-centered care all starts with what information we can get from the family about what is important to their loved one. Mm-hmm. So if coming to breakfast in their pajamas is important to them because that's how they've always done it and that's in their routine, then that's what we're going to honor.
I love it.
If somebody prefers to have a glass of wine with dinner and we can get an order from the doctor to have that glass of wine with dinner, that's what we're going to do.
Great.
You know, it's all about honoring their preferences, their history, their routines. You know, we've talked, Jill and I have talked about the idiosyncrasies of knowing that I like to have chapstick and a glass of water next to my bed when I go to bed at night.
Right.
Person-centered care makes sure that that happens.
Right.
You know, making sure that the woman who always has to have Kleenex has her Kleenex box in her walker with her every day to make sure that she doesn't feel anxious about where her Kleenex is.
Right.
You know, it's the little things that you think, eh, does that matter? It does. We're still working with people, and they might not be able to communicate with us the way they used to, but they're still themselves inside. So from family members, how we provide person-centered care is we get the life stories of all of our residents. We want to know everything from the time they were born, where they were born, what kind of family life they had growing up, where did they go to school, what kind of military service did they have, their careers, the kind of music they enjoyed, did they have pets, are they fearful of pets?
Right.
You know, all the things that have shaped us. Jill and I, you know, there's a lot of similarities. We love to work with people with dementia, but
Absolutely.
We have a lot of differences in our life, too.
Right.
I know she likes water by her bed, so we
yes,
could be
I
good
do.
Roommates. But, you know, the things that make us different are what is going to matter in the kind of care that we prefer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, having somebody eat their breakfast in their pajamas, that's not a big deal. Having somebody, you know, sleep in till 10 because they were never a morning person, but they will get up and maybe have a bowl of cereal and some toast and coffee at 10:30 in the morning, that's okay.
Right.
You know, we want to make sure that they still feel like the people that they are, even if they can't express that to us. So that's why it's so important for families to notice these things and ask these questions while you still can, because those are the things you want to make sure are honored for yourself. Why not for your loved one as well?
Well, and even when somebody moves in on the first day, if you know that they need that Vaseline or they need that mm-hmm. glass of water, it might make that transition so much easier because it feels the same.
Absolutely.
But tell me how you have used maybe somebody's occupation.
Oh, yes.
To
this
your benefit.
This is fun. So we have a gentleman who was a former postal carrier in Chicago. He was actually President Obama's postal carrier for 20 years.
That's cool.
And so we bought some mailboxes and we are decorating them and we are putting them around the community. And we're asking people, family members, to bring in their junk mail, and he can help deliver that mail.
Oh,
and we have
that's
other
fun.
Residents who were going in and out of their house 20 times a day before they moved in with us to get the mail. Well, guess what they get to do? They can go collect the mail. So, you know, and all these different things. We have a woman who is a retired Episcopal priest. We know her favorite songs and her favorite hymns and her favorite church songs. So if she's feeling anxious or, you know, just needs a boost, we can start singing Jesus Loves Me and she'll sing right along with us.
Right.
You know, so knowing these little things, her favorite songs, her favorite music, they love Tom Jones. Put Tom Jones on and you got a group of ladies who are having a good time. But,
oh,
you know,
awesome.
The little things, you know, we've got residents aging, ranging in age from 56 to 99 right now.
That's
so
incredible.
You got a 40-year age range of people who have different musical tastes, different life stories, different life experience. So we need to honor a lot of different things with our residents. And knowing those life stories, we can do that.
Right. So tell me, what makes JEA so special?
Well, for me personally,
that's Bellevue Heights.
Yeah.
Parent company.
Right.
Yeah.
So I've been in senior healthcare for 22 years, and by far this is the best company I've worked for in regard to it's a company that understands dementia, dementia care. Our building is purposely built for memory care. It's, you know, there's a lot of benefit, I will say, to, you know, communities that have assisted living with a, you know, separate dementia care unit. But for us, and this is a community, actually the first one I ever worked for that was just memory care. And I have to say, the attention to detail, the attention to the training that we get for our staffs and the training we can provide to the general public by bringing in external resources like Jill and other professional speakers. You know, we want to make sure people are educated whether they have a loved one with us or not.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of benefit to us to be a leader in dementia care, in making sure that anybody can come to our support groups, our educational series, and get that information. Because in the long run, it's, you know, we're out there to help people with dementia, whether they live with us or not.
Right. Well, one of the things I love about your purposefully built community is your wide hallways, your glass, that so everybody can see where they are, and having your beauty salon up towards the front, having heat lamps when people get in the showers, having monitors so when they get out of bed, the nursing staff knows, and they can come down and check on them just to make sure they're getting back in bed without having to go and wake them up 10 times an evening. And that can be really uncomfortable. We're going to take a little break and listen to another word about Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. But Nikki, I'm so excited you're here today. Thanks a lot. And we'll be back in just a minute, okay?
Making the decision to place your loved one in the care of others is one of the most difficult decisions you will ever have to make. If that someone special is in your life and is needing memory care, Bellevue Heights is the place to call home. Bellevue Heights, part of the JEA Senior Living family, is deeply committed to serving people living with Alzheimer's and other related dementias. Living with purpose and meaning is the best reward at Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. Your loved one will live life to its fullest. Licensed nurses on staff 24 hours a day, compassionate caregivers, 3 well-balanced meals, and 3 healthy snacks are a few key elements of the JEA difference. We also offer fully furnished private and semi-private rooms, meaningful activities, and scheduled outings. Call Bellevue Heights at 303-690-0700 to learn more about the high standard of individualized care they can offer your loved one. Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center is located at 14500 East Bellevue Avenue in Aurora. Visit jeaseniorliving.com or call 303-690-0700 to schedule a tour. Come home to family. Come home to Bellevue Heights.
Welcome to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. A candid conversation as we learn about dementia, Alzheimer's, and its effects on the people we love. Jill's years of dedication and experience help you adapt, recover, overcome obstacles, and help find a positive outcome. It's time for Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz.
All right, welcome back. So, Nikki, we're talking about when you choose a care community. Okay, so, you know, I've joked a couple times that I need to have part of my services. You found a place, now what?
Absolutely. And so it doesn't end just because you found a place. Now, you know, it's not just a transition for your loved one who's moving into the community. It's a transition for the whole family, for everybody involved in that person. So what needs to happen with the move?
Right.
You know, so we talk about that. How can we make the transition smooth? Well, again, the more we know about that person, the more we can support them on their first day, making sure they've got their chapstick, making sure we're getting them right into an activity that is meaningful for them, having the family stay for lunch. We say, try to bring them in the morning. If you've got somebody who sundowns, that's not a good time of day to bring them at 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
You know, so we want to make sure it's as smooth as possible. We want to talk about, you know, what reason do you give that person for moving in? You know, and we get questioned a lot. Well, what do I tell them? How do I tell them to get out of the car and come into your building?
Right.
You know, so, you know, it again depends on the situation. So one of Jill's clients actually just moved in and we talked about, you know, this woman has blood pressure medication she takes and she's acutely aware of her blood pressure issues. So, you know, say, you know, the doctor feels we really need to monitor that. We happen to have nurses at our building 24/7 overseeing medication management and treatment. So right. That made sense to her. And I think for a lot of folks of a certain generation, that feels like lying. Well, what we have to realize with dementia, it's a reality shift. The person with dementia has a much different perception of reality than you and I do.
Absolutely.
So whatever is going to make sense to that person in their reality is not lying. That's making sense to them. Mm-hmm. For that woman, it made sense to her that, yes, her blood pressure medications needed to be monitored by a nurse. So that transition went much, much smoother than, Mom, you've got dementia and you have to stay here. I can't take care of you anymore. That doesn't work.
Right.
So,
and how about moving a part of their house into your community?
Right. I mean, whatever is going to work, you know,
beds, and dressers.
Yeah. So we can provide furniture at no cost because we know that, you know, people waiting for the crisis moment, they don't have time to schedule movers and things. And, but you know, for some people it is important to have their furniture and the things around them that they love or that are meaningful for them. So as comfortable as you can make their room with things that are familiar that they will, identify with, that's what we want to do.
And how about coming to visit?
Yes.
That's always, what do I do now? When should I come?
Right? Yeah, that's always the first question. Well, should I stay away? Some places tell me I should stay away a month. Some places say I should come, you know, stay away a couple weeks. Why? So again, case by case. And first, keep your own emotions in check, because if you know you're going to visit and you're going to be a big blubbery mess, that's probably not going to be good for your loved one either. So if you know that you cannot keep your emotions in check when you come to visit, then maybe you need to stay away and try to figure out this transition. And again, we talk about the transitions, not just for the person with dementia, it's for the person still at home. You know, if you're a spouse, you've got a big house now to yourself. What's that look like to you now? Who is in your support system? Do you have children, neighbors, church members, people that you can rely on?
Great information.
The people you don't want to rely on are the people saying, wow, why did you move your wife so soon? She seems fine to me.
Right.
That's not helpful. So don't ask that person for help. What you want is to and they're going to pester you and they're going to say, come to lunch with me. Let them take you to lunch. Do not isolate yourself, because then you're just going to be, you know, in your own head. You need to find things that are going to be meaningful for you, that bring you purpose, that maybe you haven't been able to do for a while because you've been the primary caregiver.
Right.
So you have a new role now. You're still involved in your loved one. You haven't just, you know, washed your hands of the situation. You're still an integral part of the team taking care of your loved one.
Mm-hmm.
But that role is different now. Now you're back to being the spouse or the adult child,
right,
or whatever that looks like. But, you know, coming every day, if that works for you, great. If it means coming once or twice a week, that's great too. If you need space and it's going to take you 2 weeks to get yourself in a place in your head and your heart to where you feel you can come and be the best possible person you can be, then you do that too.
Right.
But it's all about taking care of yourself spiritually, mentally, physically, so that, you know, if you're the husband, you are the best husband you can be because you're taking care of yourself now.
Sure.
As well.
And have an exit plan.
Absolutely.
So you can sit down and talk to them about that exit plan, so that every time they come and go, it's easier. So, Nikki, you've done something at your community that a lot of people have shied away from, and that's embracing other dementias.
Yes.
And something near and dear to my heart, because my brother has FTD, frontal temporal disease, which is behavioral, or it's motor skill, or it's aphasia, not finding the words, and word salad becomes an issue. You have embraced having people like that in your community. It's difficult because they're usually between the ages of 44 and 64, 20 years too young.
Yeah. Yeah. And we do, like I said, we have our youngest resident there is 56 right now. And we've dealt with, it's not just Alzheimer's. We've had Parkinson's, vascular, Lewy body, frontal temporal dementia. So certainly it's case by case. We certainly want to make sure that our residents can reside safely and they're not an endangerment to other residents. But we look at, again, those life stories for interventions. You know, a big part of what we do is about not overusing psychotropics.
Right.
So that life story is going to tell us if somebody can be redirected, or we can try to redirect, knowing that they love ice cream, they love to garden, they love carrying a baby doll, whatever that might look like that helps to bring peace and comfort to somebody before we would rely on a psychotropic medication. So with frontal lobe dementia, you know, again, case by case, if we know that person can reside safely in our community and we can meet their needs and we've got strategies to redirect, absolutely, we want to give it our best shot to try. And we have a couple now, residents who are doing beautifully in our community because, again, those life stories that help us so much in providing, you know, whole person care.
Sure. And I do know that you have some younger onset people. I think people in general think that care communities have only 80 plus year olds, and you have embraced that. You've got several people under the age of 75.
Mm-hmm.
This week, I always do a tip of the day, and this next week, actually, at Bellevue Heights, I'm going to try some music therapy with your folks. And so my tip of the day is use not only that person's life story for engagement in good activities, but music is a wonderful medium to get that person to communicate with you. So thank you for letting me try this on some of your residents. And one of the things you say, which I love, by the way, is that your staff are guests in their home. I think that's awesome.
Absolutely.
And so anyway, with that music therapy, if you want to try it at home, put your loved one's favorite, you know, maybe 15, 20 songs on an iPod, put headphones on them at a time when they are centered and calm, let them listen to that music for about 15 to 20 minutes. And when you take those headphones off, you can ask them yes or no questions. Do you like music? How does music make you feel? Does it make you happy? And typically they will answer those questions and expand on them a little bit. Like, yeah, that music brings love to my heart. And it's just amazing that you can pull that out of a person with Alzheimer's and different types of dementia, even when they're in late stage. Now, our next guest on the show is going to be actually a person that was just diagnosed in December. I want to applaud her courageousness for coming on our show and talking to us about what it's like to have that diagnosis and how hard it is mentally, emotionally, physically to move out of her home into her daughter's home. And I think it's going to be a really good show. It's not going to be a live show, folks, because I don't want her to have any trepidation about talking. But I'm super excited to have a person with younger onset. This woman is 65, and I hope everybody listens, learns a little bit of something. Maybe you can help you recognize it in maybe a family member of your own. But Nikki, it's been great having you on the show. Thank you for being our sponsor. Bellevue Heights is an awesome community, and I love what you're doing there. And I look forward to having you on again sometime. We can tackle some really specific issues. So.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jill.
Well, everybody have a great day.
You've been listening to Dementia Resilience with Jill Lorenz, sponsored by Bellevue Heights Alzheimer's Special Care Center. Visit her website at summitresiliencetraining.com to learn more and join us next week as we learn more about dementia, Alzheimer's, and overcoming obstacles with a positive outcome. See you next time.